One of the most common questions I get asked is, do you have any tips for business women? Problem is, that's such a broad question. It's like asking a mechanic, do you have any advice for fixing cars? They've built an entire career and it took a long time for them to gain all of that expertise. So it's hard to impart anything useful quickly. So let's talk it out. I'm Mazda Miles and this is Restrooms and Boardrooms. Hey guys, welcome to episode 7 of Restrooms and Boardrooms, the podcast that informs and inspires women with a little pep talk and some girl talk for those who are bent on running shit in business, entrepreneurship, leadership, culture, and life. I have my boardroom directors here with me as always. You know the man with the plan, Dion Ringold.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon and morning and all that good jazz. Because I see we got some people from Australia listening. So whatever time it is
yes,
in Australia right
yes.
now.
Come on across the world on Restrooms and Boardrooms. Hey. I love it. And our favorite engineer is back this week, Mr. Josh Heath.
Yo.
Welcome back.
It was a crazy week last week, to say the least, but we back, and ain't nothing gonna stop us.
Hey,
I love it. And behind the scenes, always handling our amazing video and photo, Mr. Brian Kilpatrick.
Big up.
Crowd goes wild. Big up. All right, we thank you for tuning in. As always, we're going to be digging deep on some information that we feel like you can use in business and in life. I'm going to tell you some things that I went through in the early stages of business that I wish that other people told me. So I'm going to help you out. Hopefully it is helpful. This week, we're going to be talking about delegating. Then we'll chat about TI making some serious waves in our boss move or soft move segment. And finally, at the end, we'll discuss something I really have to be honest about. So if you're ready, we're going to get into it. As you all should know by now, I suggest that you start every single week, every single day with a pep talk to yourself, for yourself, with yourself to get your mind right. We as women spend so much time taking care of everybody else, taking care of others, pouring into others, almost to the point that we will neglect ourselves and let go of ourselves. I am here to change that. I am the person running the pep rally to make sure that women don't forget to pep talk themselves. Pay yourselves first. I'm going to set up this pep talk as always by letting you know what I've been going through this week and, you know, what it has to do with me and my life. This week I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed with a few things on my plate. I was just really close to saying, well, I'll just do everything myself. I was going to just go hard on the weekend. I was just going to do it, get it done. Like, I was like, okay, I'm just not going to have a weekend. Right. I'm just going to get in here, dig in, right? Grind hard, let it make it happen. That's what us kind of entrepreneurs and us business
you
folks
want your Gary
do.
Gary V this week, huh?
And, listen. But then a little voice reminded me that I have an entire team of amazing people who I pay. They're not volunteers. Mm-hmm. I pay them. And they are capable and able to help me. And I had to reset myself. This is something I go through. And I think that all of us business owners are type A. A lot of us are. I can't say all. But a lot of us are type A. Sure. We think if we don't do it, it won't be done right. We think that it's easier just to get it done myself. It'll be done correctly. And I'll get it done and get it out of the way. But the problem is that really does inhibit our growth. It really does inhibit us being able to do the things that we should be doing in our business. And remember that, you know, comfort and growth don't coexist. I know it's comfortable a lot of times for us to just do what we want to do, but that can't coexist with our growth. So I basically had to do what I had to do and pep talk myself out of doing the inevitable, which is killing myself while other people wouldn't have the opportunity to do the things that they could do. So my pep talk went a little something like this. Girl, are we here again? In this place where we think that the best solution is to try and do everything ourselves. Listen, we are not going backwards. Get it together. You're the boss for a reason. So you can stay above the fray, be strategic, and push your business forward. You got goals. And you can't do that if you're underwater. So get back to basics, woo-sah, and let all the things you have no business doing, go. You got this, boss.
And you got this, boss. I like that.
I say that a lot to myself.
You do. Yeah. As you should.
Say that a lot to myself. So our topic this week is kind of relearning how to delegate. I'm not going to assume that people don't know how to delegate. Yeah. I really think we all do.
I think a lot of us do not like to. And I think what you said earlier is kind of like, I'm the best person for the job. If I do it, I know it's going to be done right. I like things being done a certain kind of way. And the beautiful thing about this podcast, though, is business talk is also life talk.
Yo.
Because it's the same thing, right? Yeah. Rather it's marriage, rather it's anything, any project that you're trying to do, I think delegating really matters, right?
I agree.
I pretty much planned my wedding, and I had to kind of be more hands-off than I would have wanted to, because I like things done a certain kind of way. And I wasn't really hands-off with my wife. My wife listens to the podcast every week. She's going to tell you I'm not hands-off on it. But
I don't see you being hands-off with that wedding.
But I had to be hands-off the day of, which
yes, you did.
Very different, right?
Absolutely.
I think this is really good. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about this.
Good. I'm excited. You were so right about what you said about business and life. I have a friend who has 6 kids, and she talks a lot about the fact of the art of how she manages her life. She's like, I work, my husband works, we're getting stuff done, yeah. We taking care of everything, y'all can, she literally has a schedule of what the things, she's like, that they have to do, yeah. Right? Is my kitchen clean? If I'm working, cooking, putting all the food in the house, making sure you're clothed, making sure you have those new sneaks you want, and you're in all the activities you want, sure. And you're in sports, I'm not also going to do all these things. So it's not about like them being, but it's the art of delegation. Yeah. And this child is capable of doing this. And there's things outside of housework that she delegates so the household can run smoothly. Yeah. Because she's like, I'm the mom. He's the dad. We have to do these things up here. Yeah. You're the kids. You can help with these things down here. And while I'm at it, which I'm going to talk about later, I'm training you for life.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about delegation as well, which I'll get into, is we miss that part that we're training the folks that work with us, whether it's in business or in life, we're training them. It's a training opportunity. It's a development opportunity. We rob them of that when we hold the information all for ourselves.
Yeah. And I don't think we give ourselves the adequate amount of peace in the matter as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you give somebody something and they learn how to take that baton and run with it,
yeah.
It gives you, it's like in a race, right? Once you pass out that baton, that's you're right. Not like, I wonder where to go. It's kind of like, hey, we've done this over and over. They got it, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
All right. So, first off, you know me, I kind of go in points and I'm going to dig into it a little bit. First thing is I want to dig down into what it's costing you not to delegate. We talked about this last week. Everything costs you something. So that little exercise I did last week, if you didn't listen, this is my shout out. You got to go back to episode 6 and hear about this pricing for profitability and perfect pricing. Okay. But we talked about what things cost you and how you pay attention to that and how you work it into your pricing model. So that exercise from last week that we did that got down to how much your hourly rate or what it costs you to work on a project, how much is that hourly rate, right? And you take that and you figure out, should that rate be used to gain more business, or should it be being used to do strategic things, or should it be things like ordering office supplies? I'm just gonna keep it real. In my life, I have an hourly rate that I bill out, you know, that's higher than what it quote unquote costs me, of course, because I gotta add my profit.
Yes.
Okay. But if I were to say just like my salary, just the baseline, we're somewhere between $60, $75 an hour. Does it make sense that I'm spending that kind of time on office supplies, answering phones, managing a calendar, when that kind of hourly rate, when $300, $400, $500, whatever it is, could be used towards getting more business?
Sure.
So that's the first thing. Like, we really have to be real about what it's costing us. It literally costs you when you don't delegate, right? The second thing is I do want to dispel some myths. First of all, you're not delegating because you're not willing. It's not that you're not delegating because you're not willing to get your hands dirty.
Mm.
Some of us are afraid of what other people think of us.
Yep.
Like, they're going to think, I'm not willing to get my hands dirty and get in it. That's not true. That's not why you're delegating.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you're afraid to get your hands dirty. You dug this business out of the ground. Clearly, you don't mind getting your hands in the dirt, right? Yeah. It's not the issue. We're just in a different place now. And we have to grow. Secondly, you're not delegating because you think you've made it and you're better than everyone else, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And if you have employees or people that work with you that make you feel like you, when you delegate something that, you know, oh, you can't do it anymore, they don't need to work for you. Because at the end of the day, you're the boss.
Yeah.
And you're paying them for whatever that job is, right?
Yeah.
Third, you're not delegating. You are delegating because it's a wise business decision. You've worked hard to build your business. And in order to grow it and sustain it and to make it better, you have to get your hands out of some things. You gotta get out of the weeds and you have to manage your business in an efficient way operationally. It's just got to, it just is what it is. Now, I want to dig down into the root of why you're not delegating. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this a little bit and give you some solutions. The first is, has someone, and maybe specifically the person you're considering delegating to, have they let you down? Sometimes that is a valid reason for why we don't want to delegate. They didn't do it right the first time. They let me down. They didn't get it done on time, that kind of thing. I think it's really important that we dig into that and we address it. Instead of making the first thing that you do as a business owner or in your life say, I'm not going to trust them again, figure out why they let you down. Is it just because they didn't care? That's a whole different issue. Is it because they weren't well equipped with the knowledge? That's something you, boss, have to deal with. How do you give them that knowledge, right? Let's dig into that. Another one is, do you feel that this is a task that only you can do, right? There are some things that only you can do. Yeah. But I just want to challenge folks to really, really get into, is it really though? Really? Can only you do it? There are so many things that I was unwilling to delegate over the time of my business that now I'm realizing you were not the only, like, and I'm going to tell you why I was challenged. The person who runs our HR for our company, she's amazing. I believe in shouting out women who are amazing. So I'm going to shout out her. Her name is Lynette Phillips. Her company is Second to None, HR Consulting. And she challenged me in a new way over the time that I've had my business and that we've been working together to really dig into whether or not people really can't do it. Like, she'll be like, why? Why can't they do it? Right. I'm like, well, so-and-so, you know, I have to do this because I'm the one with the knowledge. Why? You don't think they can learn? Now, listen, that's deep. Because then I had to really look inside myself. I'm like, are you underestimating someone? Are you holding someone else back? And what I found was just this year alone, because of this conversation and this amazing HR, this consultant, when I gave the person that she was really challenging me to give them this responsibility, that person literally killed it. Like, when I say they killed it dead and they didn't need me, I almost wondered, do y'all still need me in this company? Like, that's how much they killed it. And I realized that I was holding her back. I could have promoted her and had her living, you know, working as my second in command a long time ago, but I was so busy saying, I'm the only one that can do this. So let's kick our pride to the side and really consider whether or not. Or do you feel like this is a task only you can do well? Not true. Again, you got to get into it. And then do you feel like it will take too much time to teach someone else how to do it? That's what a lot of people are like. It's going to take too much time. It's going to take too much time. Listen, life is time. Everything you're going to do in life is going to come. There's going to come some sort of sacrifice or risk with it. Yeah. You're going to have to put your time and your grind into it. And what do they say? Success. The key to success is delayed gratification. Mm. Right. So, yeah, it's going to be hard right now. Yeah. You may have to do what you're doing as a business owner or in your family or in your life. You may have to do that and teach someone right now. But guess what 3 months from now looks like? Guess what 2 weeks from now looks like? Guess what next year looks like? Yeah. Whole different scenario. So, again, I just want to, you know, recommend and really encourage folks to take that time to get into that and allow people to do. For me, it has done nothing but skyrocketed my business every time I've given somebody an opportunity and got myself out of the way. On Wednesday, in fact, I was with my team. We're getting ready for the last event of the year, last large event of the year here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with them and I had a huge task list the night before. I was feeling like Mazda has to do all of those things. And I had to check myself. And I sat down with them on our weekly team meeting. And I went through that list. And when I left the table, I only had like one task. And everybody else was carrying the load with me. And like I said, they've been killing it. Okay, this is done, which, you know, need your feedback, you know, moving on. And like I said, now I can focus on running the business and growing the business.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question about Della. So you figured out that the person on your team was really good for you to delegate to. What about those things you just said? How do you identify the things that you are the only one who can do?
I really feel like you have to identify the things that, first of all, I think it's important that you know what you love to do, right? That's one big piece of it. Because if you don't know what you love to do and what you're really great at that you love to do, you don't recognize the things that either lift your energy or drain your energy. There are a lot of things I can do. I don't love to do them and they drain my energy. For instance, for those of you that are into the personality profiles,
I am.
Okay. So I don't know if you've done DISC, but I've done DISC. And I am the personality profile that is dominant, straight to the point, you know, bullet point, results oriented, like get to it. Tell me what the end result is. I don't care if we're not talking results. That's just who I am, right? And there are other folks, and the almost polar opposite of me is the person that is like very analytical, very like they love the Excel spreadsheets. They love all the questions. They love to consider the process. Yeah. That's not me, okay. Right? So when I realized that although I can build budgets and timelines and all that stuff because I have the knowledge to do it, by the time I'm done doing that, I can't do anything else because I am so drained. So I think when you're trying to figure out, number one, figure out the things that you love to do and you're great at, and figure out the other things that you that because you're gonna be more productive at those things. Yeah. For me, because I'm to the point, I'm also the salesperson. I love sales, so it's also my brand. So honestly, for me, I need in my world, I would love it if all I could do is sell. But that's all I want to do is go and talk to people and sell projects and come back. I wanna kill the meat, sorry vegetarians, and I want to come home and let my team cook it. That's what I want to do. I want to be like, hey, just got this huge deer, right? I want to come in and let them cook it and fry it up. Right,
people mad at you,
sorry, you know, my vegans and vegetarians, sorry, I am a carnivore,
right.
So that's the first thing. And then I think the second thing is really figuring out, again, strategically, what's strategic, what's more logistical or more operating, right? And figuring that out. If you are if you love it and you're great at it and it produces profitability for your company, those are things you should be doing. If it's a high revenue generator and you like it and it's good, you should be doing those things because you're the, you know what I mean? Because you are probably the highest paid if you're the owner.
Right.
So again, back to this cost thing, you're weighing out with profitability of you doing that thing. Even if I love to order office supplies, let me say it again. Even if I loved to order office supplies, I should not be doing that because it doesn't make good business sense.
Facts.
Yeah. All right. So if there's not anything else, we're going to move into the next segment.
Yes. And as you guys know, everyone who listens on a weekly basis, we have a segment called Boss Move or Soft Move, and we're going to get into it right now. So this is, I'm going to leave my feelings out of this. We're going to leave this to the boss.
Ooh.
I'm going to pitch this to you. So T.I., everyone knows T.I., rapper, mogul, all those good things. He's getting a lot of backlash right now from a lot of ladies because he was on a Breakfast Club and a few other places and talking about how involved he is with his daughter. And he has the sex talk with her and all these different things. But this was the kicker. Apparently, he goes to the gynecologist with her annually.
Forces her to go.
Annually. Makes like, it's the on the calendar. He makes the appointment to check to make sure her hymen is still in place or intact.
He should get back.
So I have to ask the question, is it a boss move or a soft move for the father to have his daughter have an annual gynecologist check to make sure her hymen is still in place?
It's literally the softest move that could ever be. Like, there's not even a way for me to express how soft this move is. Softer than Charmin, softer than marshmallows. Oh, it's that soft. You need me to elaborate?
You know.
Or you have, you know, you come know. On this list. So, as your father.
As a father of a teenage daughter, I kind of, so this, I'm two minds of it. I do think it's extra, right, to be checking for her hymen every time. Because as we know, a lot of, you know, that can happen in a lot of different ways outside of just the person having sex, right? That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the thing that I'm a second mind about is, why he's getting so much backlash? If a father wants to be actively involved in his child's life,
owning her vagina
and not owning it, having an opinion, having a say, want her to know, hey, that matters, I'm okay with that. Is it a soft move to have an annual check to make sure it's still there? Yes. But I think it's a boss move for a black father at his level to be involved.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. So I'm not with the backlash, but the hymen checking is a little
not a little far. It's a lot far.
It's a little far.
So here's the deal. Here's how I feel. And you know what's crazy is we're gonna combine this segment because Dion surprised me with
this. Well, you gotta let him know this is your signature segment. So
I'm getting ready to say it. My signature segment is the If I'm Honest segment.
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, I just have to combine these because that was all. This was also my thing for if I'm honest. So it's crazy that you brought this. If I'm honest, it is pretty disgusting to me that we're in a world that has not, and in a country, in a world that's not really dealt with head on this kind of toxic, aggressive masculinity. Mm. At the end of the day, first of all, the daughter's 18 now. Sure. Okay. So first of all, she's a grown ass woman. I'm just going to put it like that. Okay. Secondly, yes, father should be involved. My father was involved. My parents had sex talks with me. I was like, when I was five, I could tell everybody, oh, this baby came because you put a penis into a like, I'm keeping it real. My parents didn't play that. My family's from the medical field. They didn't use slang. Yeah. They weren't saying pee-pees and wee-wees and JJs. Right. They were saying the actual words, and they were explaining to me anatomy and what it was. I was not to be tricked into doing something I did not want to do or did not understand. They had all those conversations with me. What they did not do is treat me like they owned me as though I was their slave and they owned my genitalia and my sexuality. As a human, and in America, you still have the right as a human to make your own choices. HIPAA even says, the law says you have the right. If you listen to the thing, I did listen because I had to. I read the articles, but I had to actually listen to what he said to make sure I wasn't overreacting. I wasn't. He said that he literally every year makes the appointment, basically tells her she has to go. She has no choice in this. He puts a sticky on her bedroom door that says GYN 9:30 tomorrow. Like, she knows she has to go to this. When she gets to the doctor, the doctor has to basically say to him every year, you know, by law, I can't discuss anything with you until she agrees. He actually said on the podcast that he turns to the doctor and is like, or turns to the daughter in a very, what I considered a very bullying tone. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, they want you to say that you're okay with it. Sign this paper. Sign this paper. Like, telling her she's going to sign this paper so the doctor can verify it. Again, women, I feel like it's teaching the wrong message. As a young girl, as a woman, you need to know that you can make decisions about your life. You can make decisions about your body. It is time out for men owning women's bodies. You don't own our body. You're a parent. You're a guidance counselor, basically. You are to guide them into their decisions. When you make the decisions and basically try to hold them hostage, he's saying, I don't believe you. You can tell me all day you're a virgin, but I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I need a doctor to verify what you could or could not be doing. What kind of basis, or is that the relationship a father really wants with their daughter? Would you rather your daughter just tell you, Dad, I feel comfortable talking to you about this, so I'm going to tell you I want to do this, or I am doing this, or I'm considering doing this? Or is it that I got to drag you to a medical professional to teach you about, to ensure that you are or you're not doing a thing? That's really an issue for me. It's really an issue for me. You don't own her body and you don't own her vagina. She's a grown ass woman. And you should be able to have that discussion openly if she so chooses to. And also, let me give a little anatomy lesson for everybody. The hymen is not like a cloak that goes over the vagina, because if it were, women wouldn't be able to menstruate or anything with it. It literally lines and is meant to protect it from bacteria and other things. It is meant to erode over time as your body matures. There are many things that make the hymen like wear off, erode, not be intact. Sex is not the only one. So it's also antiquated thinking that you're taking your daughter to the doctor to check a hymen.
Sure.
Soft move, and it's crazy.
Now that you put it that way. Nah, but I think it's important for people to hear that. And, you know, it is, we do have to do a better job of even, you know, I have the conversation all the time. Like, I'm not a fan necessarily of, like, spanking your children for everything. I think some things are a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So I think kind of the same thing. Like, they are humans first, right? And I think it's important that they know that and that we keep that conversation going. So if you guys that are listening, you need to hear this. We need to continue to have that conversation. Make sure we have that. Because the other thing, too, some guys don't know. Some guys really are just, you know, in this prehistoric mindset of what this patriotic bottom hook looks like.
I definitely believe that. I do not think that. I think he's ignorant to the fact. 100%. Sure. And so I think it's important that there is backlash, because I think there are other people listening that need to hear why us women are enraged.
Sure.
So that's why I feel like they
just clout chasing. You know.
Well, there may be some, but I find no fault in the women who are enraged, and I'm not going to judge anyone, because I was heated when I read it, because I was like, what year is it? Like, I was literally like, this is crazy. But I do, like you said, I do think that it was ignorance because if he was aware, he would never just said it openly. He wouldn't have. Absolutely. He wouldn't have been so proud to say it had he understood.
And I think the other thing too is, so as you guys know, we want to engage with you and we want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure that you email us at hello@mazdamiles.com. And you, if you want to talk about this topic or any other topic, shoot it in. And we will make sure that it gets on the pod. Just shout out Mazda. Shout out the crew, and we will make sure that it gets on the pod. Whatever you want to talk about, obviously business talk, girl talk, anything. If you need a pep talk, Mazda's really good at those. So
listen,
whatever
I do impromptu pep talks.
I do impromptu pep talks.
No, literally, I've had people stop me and be like, "I'm really feeling a certain way about this," and I'm like, "You know what? Let's talk about it, girl. You're amazing. Yeah. You're ready." And I'm like, "I'm just going to go right into it."
So we need you guys. We want to engage with you. We're super excited that you've been a part of this journey. I mean, we've had over 300 plus of you guys listening. That's extraordinary. So shout outs to you guys for listening in. Make sure you share the pod. If we find that you are posting on your Instagram or Facebook, we will shout you out. You will wind up on Mazda's page as well. So make sure that you tag at Mazda Miles on Instagram, Twitter, and all that good jazz as well. Again, the email is hello@mazdamiles.com. Send in your questions and they can get on the pod.
All right, all right. If there's not anything else, we're going to move on. That is our time for the day. We do thank you for joining us on this pod. I hope you feel empowered and know that those talks, those pep talks in the restroom will help make you money in the boardrooms. Reminder, as Dion said, please join the conversation. Just send me an email at hello@mazdamiles.com. Again, your question, your feedback, your input may be shouted out on a pod. We may answer it right on a pod. If you have not already subscribed, make sure that you smash that button and subscribe. We also need you to rate and review. Other people need to know how much you love this podcast. I appreciate y'all so much. Also, make sure you're following me on social media, as he said, at Mazda Miles, Instagram, Twitter, and everywhere else. Another shout out to my dope team, Dion Ringgold.
Gang, gang.
You want to let them know where you can find
D. Ringgold and Club Magazine. Very excited. Thanks, guys.
All right, Josh Heath.
J. period DOT music 4 at
we're gonna find you easier.
They're gonna find we're gonna make it a lot easier because I keep forgetting my own situation every time, like Joshua, just make it Joshua. We'll make life easier.
praise Josh.
And don't kill me. And my guy Brian Kilpatrick is 2023 media.
It's 2023. I was ready. Media. You should have let me do it.
That's how you guys know that this is a live pod. Like, we do not. I don't have notes. Like, this is real. So
2320 media. Yes. Make sure you go and check him out. He's amazing, multi-talented. Amazing. Appreciate everything he does. Yep. All right. Until next time, shout out to all my boss babes. We will talk to you next week.